This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
What is up? Happy Tuesday.
It feels like Monday.
Feels like a Monday. I like this.
My goodness. Did you have a good three-day weekend?
Three-day weekend was delicious. I played a little bit of golf, had a little bit of fun, just relaxed.
Good. Becky Lynn, good three-day weekend?
I worked yesterday.
Oh.
That's right. I've already got it from Becky.
Good.
I held the fort down while you two were lazing about playing golf and watching Netflix.
Good two-day weekend?
Yeah.
Actually, I only played 15 hours this week.
I did have a good weekend because we went to Sedona.
Very nice.
Yeah, for Valentine's Day.
You didn't get stuck on a mountain like the guy we had on a couple weeks ago who almost died of frostbite.
No.
I want to tell you what I did. I want to tell you something that happened to me that was incredibly powerful and incredibly emotional. And I figured, let's kick off the show with it.
All right, let's do it.
We've got a lot of COVID stuff that we're going to talk about. Is Arizona getting a FEMA COVID site? What's happening in Texas? When is Arizona going to get the big boost in vaccine? That could happen this week. But I haven't told you this story. As we always tell people, you and I don't spend a whole lot of time together before we get in here.
No.
And so on Friday night, I'm out with my wife and our son. He's in from Tucson. We're having a really nice dinner. My phone starts blowing up. It's a text. My neighbor, Rex, says, you got to call me. You got to call me. Okay. Get up from the table. So I call my neighbor. And I say, hey, what's going on? He's in tears. And so I'm kind of listening to him kind of, you know, try and tell me what's going on. He has a friend of 15 years who he works with. And he's dying. He's got cancer. He's in bed and things are not good. And my neighbor is a mess. And he says, Gatos, this guy has been a big fan of yours since the 90s.
Wow.
I know. Will you come over with me and see him tomorrow? Let's surprise him. We got to bring him a little bit of joy. Let me surprise him. I mean, you walk in his house, he's listened to your show, all these different shows you've been on, listens to us, just listened in the past, all different day times. And I said, yeah. What time do you want me over? Absolutely. So we head over the next day. And first of all, I'm just kind of honored that Frank even wants to meet me.
Yeah.
Or even
likes kind of weird,
the show.
To be honest.
I know. Who wants to meet me? Who likes the show, right? We always joke about it. You never know. Like, who you reach, because, you know, there's so many listeners and people are, you know, 5 minutes here. Some people listen for an hour. But my neighbor and I go over and I'm thinking, all right, well, how do I act? Because I don't know Frank. And I said, listen, I'm going to show up. I'm just going to be me. And I got there and my neighbor goes to Frank. He goes, do you know who this is? And I had my mask on, right? And Frank is in bed. He's got the oxygen. You know, the
around the nose and everything.
Yeah. And he goes, no. And I started to talk. And then I put my mask down and then he got it. And he's like, oh, my goodness, this is Gatos. My God, I've been listening since the 90s. And I said, yeah, man, you know, my neighbor told me everything that's going on. And listen, I just want to come over and hang out with you. I'm telling you, first 5 minutes, you're his best friend.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. You kind of remind me a little bit of Frank, Chad. When people meet Chad, boom, 5 minutes in, you find something that you have in common and you're automatically best friends. So I'm sitting with this man and I'm in a chair. He's in his bed and we're just, you know, like we've never met before, but it's like we're going back and forth on all this kind of stuff. And he one day around Thanksgiving started feeling bad and he's a car guy. Right? Works at your Valley Toyota dealers. We do a lot of great stuff with them, including pay tribute to a teacher. Says around Thanksgiving, you know, I put in 20,000 steps a day. I'm working at a dealership. And he said, one day I couldn't walk across the showroom. I don't know what happened. So he goes, gets all these tests. He's got something very rare. It is a cancer and it is in his lungs and it's not good. And I'm just thinking, I'm sitting in here with a man who knows me from the radio, which is kind of a cool thing. He's listened to me for 22, 23 years. He's asking me a whole bunch of stuff. You know, we're talking. He knows a lot about me because of what I talk about on the radio and all that kind of stuff all throughout all these years. And I'm just trying to get to know him. And it's a pretty powerful thing to sit with someone and kind of pick their brain about life when theirs, unfortunately, is going to end soon. And I just wanted to do something nice for them. And I didn't know what that could be. And my neighbor said, no, you came over to meet him. That's the nice thing. And I said, yeah, but... So I told Frank this. I said, I'm dedicating Tuesday's show to you. I don't think in 22, 23 years I've dedicated a show to anybody. For one reason or another, it came out of my mouth. And his family thought it was great. And I know a lot of his family listening now, and he's listening. And I said, yeah, let's dedicate the show. I want to talk about our conversation. I'm gonna open up with it. And it just meant the world to him that someone would acknowledge his life. Someone would talk about him. And towards the end, I said, listen, we're about an hour, hour and a half in, and he's got family members coming in and they're there to say goodbye. It's a hard thing to see. I'm the stranger in the house. He knows everybody and people are kind of coming in and it's extremely emotional. They all have tears in their eyes. And I'm kind of there as like a guy who, I showed up just to say hello to him and give him a bit of a surprise and maybe bring a smile to his face. And I said, listen, Frank, you got a lot of people coming over. I'm going to dedicate the show to you and I want to let you see your family. And I said, but before I leave, can I pray over you? And he said, you don't even have to ask me that. And he pointed to my shirt and I was just wearing a CCV shirt. It's my church, Christ Church of the Valley. And I just had happened to be wearing it that day. And he goes, yeah, of course. You don't even have to ask me. Let's pray. Let's pray. So, and I've never done this before, standing over a bed where there's an ill man there. I mean, I've had family members sick and all that. I mean, I wasn't
especially
there.
Especially because 24 hours earlier, you had no idea who this person was. Phone call. Then here you are.
Yeah. So I walked up next to his bed and I held his hand. Guy I've only known for like an hour and a half. Puts his hand out, hold his hand. And, I just asked God to bring him comfort, prayed for a miracle, asked for healing. And when we were done, it was one of those moments where we all had our eyes closed and then he opens his eyes and I'm holding his hand and I look down at him and he's just tearing up. And it was just so powerful. And it's like the whole world stopped for that moment. And I mean, I was just so glad to meet him. And I was so thankful he would even want me in the room for 5 to 10 minutes, let alone an hour and a half, 2 hours. And you kind of look at him and you're holding his hand and you know that is that the last time you're going to be able to say hello or is that the last time you're going to see him? And I just prayed for comfort and I prayed for healing. And I said, Frank, I'm going to ask our listeners to pray for you. We're going to pray for a miracle. Because he needs one.
Absolutely.
So what I would ask all of you is, to stop what you're doing and say a prayer for Frank. He's a young guy. He's our age. He's got a family. And, seeing his wife walk in, tearing up there, tearing up here, tearing up there. And it's just very sad. And it makes you kind of look at the world in a different way that, one day you could be fine. Forget COVID, forget the pandemic, forget all that stuff.
It could be anything.
Anything. One day you could feel fine. You wake up the next day and for one reason you can't walk across the room. And then all hell breaks loose because you're in the hospital. You don't know what's wrong. That's scary. Then you find out what's wrong. You really can't fight it too much because it's got such a grip on you that you know that your time is limited. And we just got to remember that. We got to remember that, our time is limited. Do something with it now.
That's it.
You got to do something with it now. And so, Frank, I know you're listening. I've only met you once, but I love you, man. And what a terrific, terrific guy. And it was so nice of him to welcome me in and to have me there as a visitor for a couple hours. And I just want everybody to stop what they're doing now and pray for him. If you can do that, pray for Frank. He's a terrific guy. And it was just an incredibly emotional and powerful moment for me. And it's just something I'm never going to forget.
No.
I mean, you know, it's a Friday night and you're just doing your regular thing. Saturday morning, you're in the room with someone who, for one reason or another, kind of likes your radio show, and you're just trying to bring him a couple of moments of
just some joy, some peace.
Joy. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do the show today for Frank. Today's show.
Well, try not to suck, Frank. There's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee. Oh, I told him.
A little rusty.
Well, I told him that.
Oh,
I mean,
sometimes that's the best part, guys. Come on, let's.
Well, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
Frank. If it was up to us, we would play all of our pre-interview Gatos trying to announce somebody's name, and that should give you peace.
Yeah, not the behind-the-scenes stuff. When we tape an interview, I butcher whoever's name it is, and then we got to start over again. It's always pretty funny.
Again, the best stuff.
The best stuff.
So
best.
I ask you to pray for Frank. And I thank you. I thank you.
Absolutely. Already put him on the list.
Yeah.
My little list.
Add him to your list.
Yep.
And pray now. All right. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got Arizona getting a big boost in vaccine. But up next, which Arizona representative thinks Hispanics are not Americans?
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
That is us.
Why do we have such weird politicians in Arizona?
We do have odd politicians. I'm not going to lie to you.
Like, you have the top tier of wacko, right? You've got Gosar and Biggs. And it's tough to even...
You know, here's the thing. Just the way I look at Biggs, because I've hung out with Biggs. There is pre him getting really close to the president and post getting close to the president.
Yeah.
Pre, he was a hardliner, definitely a deficit hawk, really big on immigration and protecting our borders. And then
he's a lunatic.
Then he got to the president and somehow he, off the reservation.
So that's the top tier. No one really touches Gosar or Biggs. But I've got to believe that in the second tier, pretty close, is Debbie Lesko.
She's always been very nice. She is. She's been very interesting. She was part of the last impeachment. Just seemed like it was months ago. And, I've talked to several politicians that she's very much a quiet person, but knows her stuff and somebody to watch out for when she's there. But
she's not quiet when she wants all of Arizona's votes to be taken away.
Yeah.
None of them are. So over the weekend, I think someone should call her and... She actually thinks that Hispanics are not Americans. So I'm going to play the audio for you. Tell me what you think of this, because she's like, how can I give, you know, the far right, my far, far, far right, not Republicans, my far, far, far right, the GOPQ. How can I get the far, far right really, really riled up? Oh, I know. I'll say no vaccines for illegal aliens.
Of course. That's all you have to say.
That's all you have to say. It's very easy. So here's Debbie Lesko.
A lot of different varieties of people that live here. It's very diverse.
It's very diverse. So she starts out okay because, you know, Arizona, okay, we're diverse.
I have worked with people that are Hispanic. I mean, they're very good workers.
So when you think of a Hispanic, you ultimately think of they are very good workers.
She's just soft. So
it's not. I love their culture. They're wonderful people.
They gave us tacos. No, it was none of that stuff. It was just all like they're very good work. They're people that are good people that are workers.
Well, she didn't say that. They're here to work for us is basically what she's saying. Okay. All right. Let's continue along. Representative Debbie Lesko. Again, the tier right under Gosar and Biggs.
We're compassionate people, but for goodness sakes, we have to take care of American citizens.
Hispanics are American citizens.
Or people that are here legally.
I think if I'm right on this, and I'll go out on a limb and say, I actually think there's some Hispanics who are here legally.
Yeah.
First.
Okay, so what she's saying is if you're here illegally, you don't get the vaccine.
First.
Right. You don't get the vaccine.
Look, let's be honest. I think most people, nobody wants to say that. But the reality is, you know what? If you're an American citizen, you become a naturalized citizen or you're here legally. Nobody wants to say you should get it first. But as long as it's, you know what? If they got it before grandma, people would be pissed and angry. Let's be honest. And there's going to be probably enough for everybody. And it doesn't mean that everybody's going to get it anyways.
Right.
There will be enough.
I mean, really, to protect everybody, everybody needs to get the shot.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, so, okay. So it's not like we're prioritizing. It's not like illegal immigrants are all getting the shot before your grandmother.
That's like something California would do.
That's something California might do. Not right. So it's interesting. Dr. Kara Crist. She says, well, hold on a second. Doesn't everybody get the vaccine? Isn't that what we need?
We want to make sure they are protected. And if we can avoid having people utilize hospital resources by vaccine, that's what we want to do.
All right. So just to give you a little more information, she's explaining why winter visitors here are getting the vaccine, why some migrant workers are getting the vaccine, why some people who are homeless are getting the vaccine. Listen again.
We want to make sure they are protected, and if we can avoid having people utilize hospital resources by vaccine, that's what we want to do.
Okay. Some people who are here illegally, okay, they use the hospital as their primary doctor, which isn't good.
No, it's not. It clogs everything up.
Right.
It's not good for them. The care that they're getting is in and out. That's all it's there for. So, understandable that you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
There'll be enough for everybody. It doesn't mean everybody's going to take it, but there'll be more than enough for everybody. But that's still going to take a while.
It is. It is. So to Representative Lesko, there are Hispanics who actually are Americans here, and you might want to know that.
Yeah.
Because that's probably a pretty good thing.
Yes,
but they're
absolutely
good workers, apparently, right?
They are very good workers.
And that's,
and that's according to Debbie Lesko, because she would know a good worker because of the work and stuff.
Because of the work and stuff. Coming up next, hey, what does a FEMA COVID site look like? And is Arizona getting one?
Sounds like apocalyptic to me.
It's all coming up on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You're locked into the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, in Arizona, we know exactly what we've got at State Farm Stadium with vaccines. We also know what we've got at ASU's Phoenix Municipal. So we've got two of these, and I know Tucson is opening up a big third one. But what the federal government is doing is they're creating FEMA COVID sites. I want to know if we're going to get one in Arizona. Also, I want to know, like, what does that look like? What does a FEMA COVID site look like? Well, let's ask ABC News correspondent. He's our buddy Alex Stone working on this story. Alex, out in California, what does a FEMA COVID site look like?
Well, hey there, guys. There's one in front of me right now, and really with military precision, cars are pulling up. They've got multiple lanes. A window goes down on the vehicle, then active duty Army in their camouflage. They've got blue latex gloves on. They're giving the shot that this is the work of putting shots into arms, and it's being done by men and women of the military who have come in as part of a task force that has been deployed by the Pentagon, 220 from Fort Carson in Colorado. And their job here is to give the vaccines at this, the country's first FEMA mass vaccination site. Another one opened up today about 300 miles north of here in Oakland. This is a Sergeant First Class Ryan Cates out here today.
The U.S. military has a lot of medical professionals who can support this mission, who can administer this vaccine in a very quick amount of time.
And guys, this really is about the federal mission here. FEMA has a mandate by the Biden administration for 100 sites in 100 days. Today, they've got two open. Here unveiling this was the commander of NORAD, a North American command, General Glenn Van Herk. And he says they feel like they've got to do this for the country.
What we face today is a threat to the homeland. It may be a little bit of an asymmetric threat called COVID, but there's no more sacred or noble mission than taking care of one's family here in the homeland.
And he says that's exactly what they're doing. The goal here is around 6,000 doses every day. And by the way, guys, the supply does not come from what is going to California, or in your case, when Arizona gets these, it wouldn't be the supply going to Arizona. They have a pipeline from the manufacturers to get the vaccine. So this is on top of whatever the state is doing.
Wow.
So 6,000 doses a day here, 6,000 up in Oakland, 12,000 extra doses every day, not being taken out of the allocation going to the state.
Alex Stone's joining us out in California. They've got a FEMA-run site. What's the real difference between the federally run site and like a state-run site by like kind of like State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona?
Well, it's a number of things. One being that the money and the organization and everything else is coming from the federal government. The feds are organizing it. They are executing it. It is the military executing it. And this comes at a time when in California, the big sites are shut down right now, or they were. Some of them are beginning to reopen today. But Moscone Center up in San Francisco was unveiled last week. They immediately ran out of vaccine. Dodger Stadium and all other sites in the city of L.A., have been shut down and beginning to reopen now, but were shut down since last Thursday because they ran out of vaccine. These will keep going even when the state runs out of vaccine. So it's another layer that when one is down, the others can keep going, and they can do a lot. I mean, they're out here, you know, like I say, with that military precision, it is car, and I mean, they're just going in the arms and getting them out of here.
Hey, Alex, you know, for me, and this is one thing I've talked to Gatos about on numerous occasions, the military going into a parking lot somewhere where there's military, they're in their fatigues, it feels very apocalyptic and come get the shot kind of thing. And I know for a lot of people that want it, that's fine. They're going to take whoever. I mean, give me anybody in the street, you could give it to them. I think they'd be fine with it if they thought it was real. But for the average person, I think it's a little off-putting.
Yeah, I mean, there may be some who don't like the idea of it. They could go to CVS or Rite Aid. They're giving it now. I was in a CVS last weekend, and you know, it was just like you were going in for your flu shot. I didn't get it, but the people who were lined up, it was you know, just like a regular day in that CVS store. Or you could go to any of the county sites, the county sites that have been set up that when they're open at Dodger Stadium and other places, and then you show up and it's civilians or firefighters who are giving it or nurses who are giving it. So there are a lot of options right now. But the idea being this is manpower coming from the Pentagon. The Pentagon has these teams of around 220, give or take, depending on where they're going. They can be deployed out to these federally run sites, and they're making it happen. What they're doing here today and in Oakland is 12,000 more shots than they did yesterday, and then they will do that every day. And then you add more sites onto it. If they can really get 100 up and running, that's a lot more manpower out there and a lot more doses being given out.
How do you get these shots? Like everywhere else, you got to sign up somewhere, but FEMA sounds like it's totally something completely different.
Well, no, this is it's done the same way. You sign up through your state, and so California has a website, and you know, however you do it in Arizona, that's how you would do it, and this would be one of the options that is there. FEMA is collaborating with the states on this to figure out how do they best integrate so that there aren't all these different systems out there and it doesn't get confusing. So there is integration in that way. And the rules of when you can get it, the federal rules will be whatever your county rules or your state rules are, that they're not coming in with federal rules that are totally different. So here in L.A. County, it's anybody 65 plus. Soon they'll bring in the health conditions of diabetes and pregnancy and whatnot. So whatever the county is doing is what the feds are doing in that area.
All right. Alex Stone, ABC News. Great to have you on again, man. Thank you.
You got it. Later, guys.
This is where, like, government can work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want, you and I agree on this completely. Less government is better. Private yes. sector better. It's just done better. But in certain things, you know, you do need the government to do a few things. You need to go to, if we're going to war, it's the government.
It's the government.
And you know what? Our military is better than anybody's military.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to fighting a disease, this is a war. We need to go to war with this, and we haven't been at war with this.
No.
Well, last year, we gave up on it.
We've been at war with each other.
We have.
Yeah.
And a lot of our politicians have waved the white flag. Listen, there's plenty that I haven't liked from Joe Biden so far, one being immigration. We'll go over that later. But Joe Biden is trying to beat COVID, and this is action. This is good. This is what you want. Put the military to work. Make these FEMA sites. As Alex said, this doesn't, like, let's say Arizona got a FEMA site. They're not using what we've been given in terms of vaccine by the federal government. They're using their own.
Yeah, and if they were here, let's just say they're only set up for, you know, 10 or 20 days to help, and they're putting an extra 10,000 to 12,000 in arms.
Huge.
That's on the way.
Yeah.
To us getting to that critical mass, which is going to be some form of herd immunity.
So will we get one? California definitely needs one. I think we've been...
We're not a hot mess like California is a double hot mess.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done okay with the things that we've had in front of us. We got off to a rocky start, got our sea legs, feeling a little bit better.
About the vaccine.
About the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But I think by the sounds of it, 100 of them, I'm assuming if there's going to be 100, that most states are probably going to at least one.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, why are thousands of Texans leaving their home and living in their car? That's in a moment.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. You're locked in to the Gatos and Chad Show.
Mash it up, baby.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about why Arizona has a teacher shortage.
It does?
We've got a massive teacher shortage, and there's a glaring reason why, and we're going to tell you about it after 3 o'clock. So, do you have friends in Texas? Have you talked to them?
Yeah.
It's like 0 degrees there.
Yeah.
Everybody's power is out.
Absolutely.
42 in the house.
Can you imagine
40 degrees inside your house? That's what people in Texas are dealing with. And so what do you do when it's 40 degrees in your house? Well, you go outside, right?
You find the heat.
Some North Texans have gone so long, we know, without power from rolling blackouts. And again, those that just started and haven't ended, they have resorted in some cases to living in their cars to stay warm.
So think about that. That's the only place that the heat works, unless you have a fireplace.
I've got some friends. That's what they've done. They went out and they tore apart, like, they got, planks and any stuff they could find. And they're just, the house is
Throw it in there, burn it.
60 degrees, 65. Ooh. Little chilly, but the fire, you get by the fire, you're doing all right.
Well, people are getting in their cars and putting the heat on.
There have been warnings about short, temporary power blackouts in neighborhoods to manage overwhelming demand. But some North Texans tell us they've been caught off guard by just how long they are being denied electricity.
This view of a snow-covered windshield is what life looks like right now if you're Clint Cash.
And I'm wearing several layers of clothes to keep my body warm.
I mean, I guess, from what I've heard from some people, they're using their cars to charge their phones because, of course, that's the most important thing in everybody's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But other people are saying, no, I'm putting the heat on because I'm freezing.
People will rather have their phone working. Uh-huh. Like, I could put a jacket on. Ah. I could wear gloves.
Right. I'll put it on, 5G and I'll watch Netflix.
But I can't not be without my phone.
The 44-year-old lives in the Collin County town of Nevada. He's bundled up and riding out the bitter cold in his car.
In his car.
That's parked outside his home.
So,
Pablo's like, he's got to TikTok his death.
So, pretty much since 5:30, around 5:30 to 6 yesterday evening, electricity has been off.
It's crazy. Like, I wanted to move to Arizona because it was the warmest place that I could find on the map. So when I was back east and getting out of college, I'm like, all right, Florida, California, Arizona. Let's see what happens. And
we had our winter. It was like 3 weeks ago.
And it was cold.
About 20 minutes. We're like, oh, my God, quick, everybody go outside, take a picture.
I am telling you, I don't know exactly what they're going through because I've never had to live in my car. But I will say this. When I had an apartment in Syracuse, New York, upstate New York, all it does is snow there, and all it does is it's cold. When I had an apartment, you didn't have a thermometer. The landlord would tell you basically how much heat you can have. He had one button, and you didn't control it. And so, if it was cool, or if it was if it was in the middle of winter, and you didn't think you were getting enough heat, tough. You couldn't turn it up.
Oh, I've been there.
So I remember being in Syracuse, New York, in this apartment as a senior. It's cold in my apartment. And so what I used to do was I would turn the hot water on and let the steam come out into the living room.
Look at you.
What else are you going to do?
I lived in a house in Leeds for a while, and we didn't have any heat per se, the way that we were young. We didn't make a lot of money. And it was the coldest life of my life.
Oof.
There were nights where I've got 3 pairs of socks. I'm sleeping in my tracksuit. I've got 4. You could see it was like you couldn't tell if it was haunted. It was too cold. I was like, I can't do this.
All right. Is it worse to sleep in that cold or hot?
How hot?
90.
I'll probably take 90 over that cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take 90 over that cold.
So Texas is just
110.
Frozen.
I'll take the cold.
Ooh.